Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Martin. Gracias everybody for joining us. I'm really pumped because today we're joined by una invitada de lujo muy especial. She is one of the leading voices on all things Cleveland Browns, Mary Kay Cabot. She covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, WKYC TV. She's also one of the co-hosts of the Orange and Brown podcast. I've come to become a fan of hers on her appearances on the Dan Patrick Show, talking all things Cleveland Browns. Luckily for her, in the last year, it's been a little bit easier conversations to have. I know there were some kind of interesting from some of the regime changes in the past, but it's been great. Mary Kay, or as I know you have it on your podcast, hey Mary Kay, welcome and bienvenidos. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here and looking forward to it.
Oh, this is great. You know, I watched the NFL draft, and Cleveland just really seemed to light up, and I just loved it. I mean, that felt like the first time I'd seen crowds in almost a year and a half. Can you describe to me the energy of that day and really also kind of the energy around in the fan base around the team over the last year since good times have started to come back?
Well, fortunately, fans will be able to come out to training camp this year, because that was my one regret about last season. It was such an exciting season. So many things going on. The energy in the city was good, but fans really couldn't be out in full force at the football games. They couldn't come to training camp. And this year, all of those things will be back, and they will be able to enjoy this team that they have waited for so long to get to this point where they can win, where they can contend to go to the AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl. So bring it on, and really looking forward to having all the fans come back.
Oh, God. Especially, you know, I grew up, watching football in the late 70s, early 80s. So that the dog pound was big, the Brian Sipe years and those kind of things. And I've never been to Cleveland, but to me, that is one of my favorite fan bases, just the loyalty. And I'd love to see loyalty get rewarded. Plus, people in the Midwest are really nice, so they need nice things to happen to them. But last year so much happened with the regime change, Kevin Stefanski coming on. When did you realize that things were different from past regimes?
Well, very early on, you could tell that he was going to come in here along with Andrew Berry, the Browns GM, and that the two of them were actually going to do something that everyone else talked about doing and couldn't pull off. And that really was change this to a culture of winning. I used to always say, everyone wants to talk about changing the culture. And I always wanted to say, here's how you change the culture. You acquire good players and you go out and you win football games. That's one of the best ways to change the culture. But they've done it in other ways as well. They've added a lot of really great guys to the football team. They're great guys themselves. So when they have to deal with agents, when they have to deal with other teams in trades, when they have to deal with players, people enjoy doing business with the Cleveland Browns right now. Players want to play here. Free agents want to come here. People can see that you can win football games here. Jadeveon Clowney didn't want to come last year. This year, he was on board. So it's all changed within 1 year. And you could see Kevin Stefanski won NFL Coach of the Year. That was huge. And that's really genuine. The players really, really like him. He's just got a way about him. He's a people person. Andrew Berry is a people person. And, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, they are aligned. And I've seen so much dysfunction here over the years. It's really nice to see it set up right.
And a lot of things when it comes to a football team, it starts at the top and it's with the quarterback. And last year, it seemed like it was a good year of growth for Baker Mayfield under the new coaching staff. Obviously, Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator had a big part in that. They were kind of a 50-50 run pass team. I think also on your most recent episode of the Orange and Brown podcast, you talked about how he's going to be up for an extension at the same time as Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, both of those who are running quarterbacks who are for fantasy football gold. Baker Mayfield does do a little running, not to that level, but from the standpoint of, kind of how he commands the passing game, how do you see him kind of growing in this system this year?
Well, this is a perfect offense for him. This is the Mike Shanahan from days of yore, Kyle Shanahan, Gary Kubiak offense that is kind of spread out throughout the NFL. And it's a very quarterback friendly offense. The percentages, the completion percentages are usually very high. The touchdowns are high. The interceptions are low. It really lends itself to a lot of success. It's based off of a lot of play action. It's based a lot on the running game, a lot of two tight ends, and just a lot of bootlegs, rollouts, so many different things to get this offense rolling. I think it's going to be a very explosive offense this year, because in addition to a scheme that suits Baker Mayfield, he has a lot of talent around him. He's got an amazing receiving core, an amazing tight end core, two of the best running backs in the NFL, and arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. So he's got it all set up for success. And these guys know how to call the game for him now. They know what works best for Baker. I mean, you know, sitting in the pocket isn't necessarily always the best thing for him to do, even sometimes from a height standpoint, depending on what's going on in front of him. So a lot of times they'll get him out on the move, and he's great at throwing the ball when he's on the move. And there's just so many things that I think he can build on from last year that will lead to tremendous success this season.
Yeah. And especially, you know, when he's not a quarterback who runs a lot, I mean, throwing those touchdown passes and everything, and we'll be talking about the receivers in a second, is huge for, from the fantasy football aspect. You know, you talked about the two great running backs, and it almost feels like the Chubb and Hunt tandem is state of the art for the rest of the NFL. I mean, I had the Raider beat writer, Vinny Bonsignore, and talked about the fact that that what they're building with Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake is similar, is in the same vein as Chubb and Hunt. Chubb is the banger. I think you've also said that he's one of the best pure runners in the NFL. Not much of a threat in the passing game. You got Kareem Hunt, who is kind of like that 50-50, but he was also incredibly valuable last year from a fantasy standpoint. How do you see kind of the running back touches breaking down this year between those two?
Well, because there are 17 games this year for the first time, I think that will also factor into how you want to divvy up those carries for the running backs. You want to make sure that you keep Nick Chubb healthy and fresh, not only for those 17 games, but for the three more games that you hope to play in the playoffs. So I think that's going to be key. I think they will give Nick an opportunity to, of course, be the workhorse, get his 1,000 yards that we know he's going to get, but also give enough work to Kareem Hunt, that you're keeping these two guys fresh, that you're providing a nice changeup, that you've got some diversity in terms of run versus pass, catching the ball out of the backfield, all the different things that you can do with Kareem Hunt. And I actually do think that these guys will be on the field more together this season than they have in the past. That there wasn't a lot of time last year to get super creative with how to line guys up and do different things. But I think this year they will see the wisdom in sometimes throwing Kareem and Nick out onto that field together.
How scary is that for a defense to look at when you get those two guys, plus some of the weapons on the outside? How crazy a look is that for the defense?
Well, it's a very difficult offense to defend for any defense. And now that they have their act together, I think they will have their mojo down right from the jump. And it took them almost half the season to really get it going. But after that, you started to see that there were times where it was child's play for them against some of these, especially inferior defenses. So I really think that they have an opportunity to be scary in terms of running the ball, passing the ball, and just really, they're just so diverse and multiple on what they can do on offense. They haven't even scratched the surface with what they can do yet.
Do you think it might be kind of a 50-50 split again between run and pass?
It could be. It's hard to say. There's part of me that almost thinks that they might emphasize the pass a little bit more this year because they just have so many weapons. I mean, my goodness, when you've got all those tight ends and you've got Odell and you've got Jarvis and you've got the receivers, we have any, you know, the young guys coming up that have speed and different elements that they bring to the table. It's going to be hard not to want to throw the ball. But once again, when you have Nick and Kareem, you know, it's also very, very tempting to try to run it at times and to stick with it, even when it seems like, you know, you might be a little bit behind here or there. So, they will be multiple, and some weeks they'll pass it a lot more. Some weeks they'll run it more, but they've got everything in their arsenal to do whatever they want.
I know there were a couple games last year where weather, I think it was the Raider game especially, where the weather was just ferocious. Mother Nature said, you are not going to pass today. And obviously, how much of a reality is that when you're talking about playing in Cleveland at that time of year?
Yeah, usually it's not that bad. It was just so weird because there were, just like three games in a row where it was bad weather down at the stadium. And it was weird because, you know, a day before that or even an hour before that, it was fine. From 1 to 4, you know, it would be horrible in the stadium. I remember Kareem Hunt at one point said that he experienced about 4 different seasons in the course of one football game. And that was true. You know, just crazy weather coming in off the lake. I don't know that they're going to have that issue this year. It seemed a little fluky last year that happened. So we'll have to see how that goes, but you know, they're built for that too. They're built to be able to run the ball in those types of situations. They have the advantage usually over other teams, in that regard, so they can handle it.
Oh, well, speaking of handling it, Odell Beckham Jr., looks like he's handled his rehab really well. I know that there's been video of him going full speed on a treadmill. He looks great. I mean, obviously, they were talking about him looking great at one of the charity softball tournaments. I thought one of the lazy narratives, from some of the people on the national standpoint, especially on the fantasy football side, was that the Browns were better without him in the offense. Can you kind of shed some light? My theory is they actually just got better offensively over time. And it just so happened that it was, you know, that they would have gotten better, even better with OBJ. With a healthy OBJ, can you kind of describe what they were? Can you help me break that narrative?
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you. I don't think they got better without Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think Baker Mayfield got better without Odell Beckham Jr. I think Baker Mayfield got better and Odell just so happened to be gone by then and wasn't around to benefit from the lights coming on for Baker Mayfield. But I will say that I do think that there were times early on last season where Baker did feel some kind of pressure to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. At times. He did force it a few times here and there, whether that was internal pressure, whether that was external pressure, not really sure about that, but I don't think he'll feel that this year because he's grown up in the offense. He no longer is going to hear those voices that say, I have to do this, I have to do that. He trusts the offense, he trusts the scheme, he trusts the coaches. And now he's going to get out there with confidence and he's going to drop back, he's going to find the open man and he's going to nail the pass without worrying who's going to catch it and what their name is and what their number is on the back of their jersey.
Well, another number that they call is Jarvis Landry's. And obviously he was a little slow coming back from his hip surgery coming into last year. You know, how do you see him kind of performing in 2021? And also I know you mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones as possibly a sleeper for this year. Can you kind of help me break down those two?
Yeah, well, Jarvis, once again, you're right. He was coming off of a hip surgery last year, and he really worked hard to get back on that field for the opener. He accomplished that goal, but he really wasn't himself for probably a quarter into the season. And then when you have a hip injury or a surgery like that, a lot of times you have some residual injuries that come off of that. And so I think he battled through a few things last year. I think he'll be healthier this year. He looks great in his rehab. And he doesn't look any worse for the wear and tear. I mean, he just looks really rejuvenated. So he looks great. And then you mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones. I really liked what I saw in Donovan Peoples-Jones last year. They have an excellent receivers coach in Chad O'Shea. He has Super Bowl rings from the Patriots. He's coached some amazing wide receivers. He's a really good coach. And he got Donovan Peoples-Jones ready to play last year, and he answered the bell when he needed to. If they don't win that Cincinnati game, when he catches that 24-yard touchdown pass with 11 seconds left and the wherewithal to keep those toes in bounds, they don't make the playoffs. It was a huge clutch catch. He made another 75-yard touchdown reception against the Titans. That proved to be the difference in that game. So really, he was very valuable. He only caught 2 touchdown passes, but they were very, very important. And I see really good things ahead for him. Now, whether or not he's going to be the full-time third receiver, the competition is fierce there. You've got Rashard. You've got Kadarius Hodge. You've got Donovan Peoples-Jones. You've got Anthony Schwartz, your third-round pick from this year, and that's a pretty high pick. So I think that they will alternate third-round receivers, but they've got plenty to work with there.
And how about the tight ends? Austin Hooper came in as a free agent in free agency last year. Obviously, David Njoku is still there. He's been, you know, much ballyhooed. How do you kind of see the tight end? Are they really far down behind the receivers and maybe even Kareem Hunt on the pecking order?
No, actually, the tight ends are exalted in this offense, and they really value these tight ends. And that's why they spent $10.5 million a year on Austin Hooper when they signed him as a free agent before last season, and why they also picked up David Njoku's fifth-year option for this year of $6 million. I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy who caught 19 passes last year. So the tight ends are vital in this offense, and that's a good problem for the Browns to have, is that they've got great tight ends, they've got great receivers, they've got great running backs and a great offensive line. And I think the issue is going to be, how are you going to find enough footballs to go around for all the people that deserve to get them on a regular basis, and all the guys that could potentially have over 1,000 yards? That's going to be the key.
The offensive line, rated number one at the end of the season by Pro Football Focus. Going into the 2021 season, they're also ranked number one. When it comes to the turnaround on this team, I'm big on offensive line play. I think it's the foundation of a successful team. How does this rank alongside the new coaching staff, the improvement of Baker Mayfield in bringing the success back for the Browns?
Well, it has a lot to do with it. I mean, this regime was intent on building those lines, the offensive line and the defensive line. And they're very, very strong that way. And you can win a lot of matchups and you can do a lot of great things when you're tough on those lines. And they are. And so, yeah, I think that it's a reason why they can run the ball so well. It's a reason why Baker has time to do what he needs to do. And, you know, they put the money into it. They invested in it. And it's definitely paying off. Having said that, I do want to point out they did not face the juggernauts of the NFL defensively last year. And I think that needs to be addressed. I think that we need to be realistic. People need to be realistic when you look at that and you're grading the offense and the offensive line. Now, I think the team will be better this year. I think they will hit the ground running. They obviously have a complementary defense now. But they did not play the best of the best last year. In fact, they played four of the worst run defenses in the NFL. In terms of pass rushers, they did not see, you know, some of the best pass rushers throughout the season. I mean, even when they played Washington, Chase Young left that game early on with a groin injury. Mm. When they played the Texans, J.J. Watt was neutralized by that weather that we talked about. And, you know, they just didn't face those, you know, they didn't face the Nick Bosas of the world. The Steelers rested most of their starters in the season finale, so they didn't have, they weren't tested that game, you know, with a fierce pass rush either. So I think they will get a stiffer test this year. I think they'll be up to the challenge, but they have to realize, and I'm sure they do, that there were some games last year that were a little bit easier than some of the ones that they'll play this year.
Before we get into the defense, I really want to just kind of highlight the feature that you wrote on Myles Garrett's mother. Really, I think that's one of those great ones for the off season that you get going. I think you mentioned that you were talking to her for about an hour and a half, and you two were just getting started. How great is it to have that opportunity to be able to do that, do a story like that at this time, to have someone open up like that, whose son is just such a big part of this team and this community?
I was so grateful to be able to do that interview. You know, I was so happy that she was willing to talk to me and just really open up and lay all her cards out on the table. And it was just such a unique opportunity. And because we are both moms and we have children of kind of, you know, in the same age range, you know, we just had a lot in common. We had a lot to talk about. I understand, you know, just those feelings. Now, I haven't raised three or four world-class athletes, world-class athletes, the way that she has, obviously, but, but still there are similarities mom to mom in what you have to go through, especially in this day and age with all the different challenges, that our children are facing. So it was great fun talking to Audrey Garrett. She was amazing. I hope to do more interviews like that. You can't always find parents or family members or friends willing to open up like that. But hopefully I can find a few more along the way, because she was tremendous. and I hope people enjoyed it.
Yeah, I always love talking to the parents. They open up in a way that their kids can't, and I love it. Getting back to the defense, the defensive line, one of the better ones in the league. You know, top 10 in fewest rushing yards allowed. The DBs were definitely the team the defense that was targeted the most. Obviously, they picked up some big free agent signings, a couple from the Rams, in my backyard. Does it look like they plugged the holes that they needed to become, to take a step forward and become a defense that that teams really need to? I know for me, from a fantasy standpoint, I need to, you know, I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll think twice before I start a player against the Browns.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, if this all comes together the way that it looks on paper, this is going to be one dynamic, dynamite defense. Now, a lot of it, I think, is predicated on how Jadeveon Clowney is going to play opposite Myles Garrett at end. If he plays really well and kind of returns to his Pro Bowl form and helps set the edge, not necessarily from a getting to the quarterback standpoint, from a sacks standpoint, but just getting that pressure and setting that edge the way that he can, if he plays up to his potential, it's going to be one heck of a defensive line. I like what I've seen from Malik Jackson so far, the defensive tackle that they got from the Eagles. He can also play outside. Jadeveon and Miles can move inside. So you're going to see a lot of versatility there on the defensive line. Andrew Billings, he's, you know, the run stuffer kind of guy there in the middle. The rest of the guys can kind of get going forward and disrupt that passer. So that looks really good. Then when you move back to the linebacking core, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Oh, yes.
Their second round draft pick. I mean, they're so excited about him. He is the sort of hybrid defender that they're looking for to power this defense. He can play a number of, he can cover tight ends. He can cover backs out of the backfield. He can stop the run. He can rush the passer. He's so versatile and can do so many things. Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator, said that, you know, they just have to be careful that they don't try to put too much on his plate too soon. But they're super excited about him. Anthony Walker, their new middle linebacker, brings a lot of leadership, brings a lot of veteran experience. So that should be really good. And then, as you mentioned, the secondary, just that secondary should just be phenomenal if everybody plays up to potential and returns from injuries the way they hope they will. Grant Delpit coming off of an Achilles. Then you've got Greedy Williams coming off of a very serious nerve injury in his shoulder. If those two guys can come back and be what they were expected to be, that's going to be key to this secondary. But they do have backup, of course. They signed John Johnson to be a starting safety. They signed Troy Hill from the Rams, as you mentioned. Two guys coming off of that number one defense. They're going to be really good in this defense. And they, you know, they've added a few more pieces here and there. But if it all comes together the way that it should, this should be a defense that Cleveland Browns fans can be really proud of, and it should give Ben Roethlisberger and Joey Burrow and Lamar Jackson a lot of help.
Well, just a couple more before we get out of here. I'm really glad you accepted my invite, because I want to highlight women and minorities as much as possible in this series. And as I mentioned to you off air, I'm a girl dad times three. And so I love to highlight women kind of who are doing it in making it in a quote unquote man's male dominated field. What advice do you give young women who are kind of up and coming and want to be in your shoes or working in the media, working in the sports media?
Well, first of all, how old are your daughters?
I've got a 17-year-old and 14-year-old, almost 14-year-old twins.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Lots of fun.
Oh, yes.
I would say that I have found over the years that when you're trying to blaze a trail and be in a male-dominated world like this, you really have to go the extra mile at all times. You really have to kind of try to outwork people and be a little bit better than everyone else, and so that you can set yourself apart. And I still do that to this day, even though I've been doing this for so many years. I still kind of wake up every day and ask myself, you know, how can I knock it out of the park today? How can I make a difference? How can I be really good at this? How can I be amazing? And I think, especially in this kind of a field, in sports media, where it's so competitive and so many people want to do this, you really do have to try to be amazing as best as you possibly can at all times. And then be yourself is another big piece of advice that I like to give people. You have to try as best you can to be who you are. Now, when I first started out many years ago in this business, I tried to blend in more and, you know, just be one of the guys all the time. And as I went through the years, I realized that I brought some things to the table that were special and different because I am a female. So I can talk to Audrey Garrett about mom things, right? And that's, you know, that's something that I can seize upon and say, hey, this is a strength. This is an asset for me in this particular situation. So I didn't always try to be what I thought I should be. I learned over the years to completely be myself. And, you know, whatever that is, it's just how it turned out.
Oh, awesome. Well, I mean, and that's something I'm definitely going to pass along to my daughters. I mean, none of them want to be in the media, but at least one of them wants to get into pro sports through athletic training. So I think there's a lot of things that can be applied to her future for future self. Last one, and we always like to close out with a fun little food talk, Mexican food talk. I haven't had anyone say they don't like tacos. So what are your favorite taco fillings to put on your taco meats, anything like that, and any favorite foods that you like?
We've got some amazing taco places around here, and it's just, it's such a big thing to do here, even in Cleveland, Ohio. Even if you might not think that it would be, but it really is. So some of my favorite places around here are taco spots. And I like some of the different things. I like chorizo sausage with a corn salsa and some avocado on there. That's like a dream taco for me right there. So that's one from that standpoint. But I'll try any different kinds of tacos. I like things that are, you know, just a little bit different and as healthy as I can possibly get them. And I don't put a bunch of cheese in there. Not a huge cheese fan. And I don't like real super hot sauce, but I like to try different salsas. And those are my favorites.
Yeah. You know what? One of the things, tacos don't necessarily need cheese to be great. And I mean, unfortunately I'm lactose intolerant, so I have to watch out for that. So, and sometimes it takes the heat off of the salsa. So, definitely be able to enjoy all the flavors like that. Oh, well, I definitely recommend, if you could, find it every once in a while, Al Pastor, is something really good to try out. And obviously pollo asado chicken, mm-hmm. is that one can be counted healthy. So, I'm a big fan of trying to be healthy as well. So,
great.
Oh, Mary Kay, as we would say in Spanish, esto fue un gran placer. So thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to thank Anchor for being our hosting network and to YouTube for making sure our independent podcast gets out to the Familia community, to all of you. Please make sure you're subscribed. Please make sure you're following Mary Kay as well. Mary Kay, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. And then I'm also on cleveland.com. And that's basically the two main places. And then you can find our podcast, the Orange and Browns Talk podcast, in all the usual places. And please log on there and leave us a nice review. We do podcasts every day. I really enjoy the speaking aspect of the job. I love to, as you might imagine, as you might be able to tell from this podcast, I enjoy talking and expressing myself that way. So it's just added a whole new layer to the job, and I love it. And so hopefully you'll give it a listen.
Yeah, well, I'll be definitely listening next, probably training camp. I expect at least one time Dan Patrick's going to give you a call and want to have you on the show. So everybody, Familia, you can find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter, and make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our original content and FamiliaFFB.com. So Mary Kay, gracias otra vez. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.